of California Programs and Policies Using Big Data and Optimized Analyses. Now, there's a lot in that title, and so I'm going to unpack it piece by piece over the course of this talk. I'm going to tell you about a project that stems from several challenges about the way that we evaluate policies, design studies, and use big data. So I'm going to present some ways that my research team at UC Berkeley is trying to address those challenges. And I'll say up front that this is very much a work in progress, and so I welcome any thoughts or feedback you might have as we continue to develop this system. And I have no relationships to disclose. To begin, so large-scale programs and policies, such as violent crime reduction initiatives, education programs, and housing projects, certainly have huge impacts on population health. However, remarkably, the health impacts of such programs are rarely measured or evaluated, particularly if they're not specifically designed to influence health. In the rare instance when they are evaluated, current approaches have major challenges. The first of those challenges is that there are many choices of study designs and analyses that one could choose. And while those choices are informed by general frameworks, there is typically no rigorous quantitative assessment of which study design or analysis is actually best to answer the scientific question of interest. And this is really important because effects that are estimated using inappropriate study designs or analyses can result in policy recommendations that are incorrect and unsuitable. The second challenge is that every time we want to look at the health impact of a large-scale policy or program, we have to initiate a new study. And that involves finding funding, collecting data, and going through the entire project lifecycle. And that's time-intensive and costly, which means that we're probably not evaluating the health effects of policies and programs half as often as we'd like to be. So as we see it, we need a better system. We need a system that is cost-efficient and time-efficient and allows us to look at a huge range of programs and policies as well as a huge range of health outcomes in a better way. This is an example of the type of program that we might like to look at. This is Ceasefire Oakland. It was a program implemented in 2012 in Oakland, California, and the goal was to reduce violence. It was modeled after ceasefire initiatives that have occurred in many other cities throughout the U.S. And super briefly, it's a multi-agency, multi-pronged program that targets neighborhoods that are among the most violent in the city and attempts to address the fundamental causes of violence. So this is the type of program that we might suspect has both direct and indirect effects on health that we would like to know about, but no data has been systematically collected to look at those effects. So our proposed solution involves two integrated components. The first is a web-based simulation software, and the second is a large database of population health data for California, which is our region of interest. So I'll describe each of these components in detail, and then I will weave throughout the example of the Ceasefire Oakland program so you can see how this might work. So first, the simulation software. So one way to rigorously select among the many study designs and analyses that one could choose is to apply simulation. And by simulation, I mean making up fake data that looks like your real data and then running tests on it. More formally, this involves programming a data-generating system that mimics the processes that you believe to be at work in your real scenario of interest. And this is really an ideal approach to compare different methods because we create the data, so we know what the true effects are. So then we can apply all sorts of random sampling, introduce biases and errors, and see how well each of our different methods does in getting back to the true effect. This is a super common approach in statistical methods development, but it's super underutilized in applied studies. And there are at least three reasons why that's probably the case. The first is that it's unfamiliar. Many researchers might not know that it exists or how to implement it. The second two reasons are related. It's both time intensive and technically challenging to program the type of data generating system you might want, and then to implement the huge array of designs and analyses that you might consider. So that's why we created a simulation software. It's still under development, but will be released very shortly. And it's a website that you can go to. And it has graphical user interface, which means it involves clicking buttons, not programming of any sort. And in essence, what it does is it allows a user to describe the data they have or the data they'd like to collect and describe their study question. And then the software, in turn, will determine the optimal approach to answer that question within a certain set of options that the user specifies. And by optimal here, I mean the approach with the lowest bias variance or mean squared error. So I'll now walk you through in a little more detail how it works. So the first thing we would do is we would go to the website and we'd input information about the policy or program, what our study question is, what the study population looks like, maybe the frequency of the outcome that we're interested in measuring, some possible confounders, and relationships between variables that we suspect exist. In the case of Ceasefire Oakland, we might tell the simulator that we're interested in violence-related deaths and injuries. And we suppose, just for example, that there are 1,000 census blocks in Oakland, and we believe that the 300 with the highest rates of violence were selected for the program. And we might suspect that some potential confounders in our analysis would be demographics and baseline violence. Based on this information, the software will generate a simulated data set that fits all of the criteria that the user specifies. So we can then select the causal quantities, study designs, and analyses that we're interested in or willing to consider. And in terms of causal quantities, we might say we're interested in the decline in the rate of violence-related deaths and injuries that's attributable to Ceasefire Oakland in the communities that actually received the intervention. In terms of study designs, there's a huge array of options from cohort, case control, differences and differences, instrumental variables, whatever your favorite design is, it's there. Here are two super simple examples that we might consider for Ceasefire Oakland. And then in terms of analyses, we've included everything from basic regressions to complex machine learning algorithms, the whole host of causal analytic methods you might use to estimate your effect. Here are a couple examples that we considered for Ceasefire Oakland. So next, the simulator takes its simulated population data, and it applies all of the combinations of study designs and analyses that we specified in step two. And it compares their performance. And these approaches are applied to the simulated data many, many times, and each time they're compared to the true effect size, which we know from our simulated data, and that allows us to calculate the bias variance in the mean squared error. And that means we can then identify our top performing methods. So the simulator will output a table and a graphical representation that looks something like this. So on the x-axis here, we have the effect size. It's the decline in the rate of violence-related deaths and injuries per 100,000 person years in this example. And the green vertical line is the true effect in our simulated data. Now, each of the blue blocks represents the estimate according to a different design and analysis approach. And I'm only showing a few here, but there are many, many more. And one of the biggest takeaways here is that the first two methods are the best performers. They're the ones with the lowest mean squared error. In contrast, the bottom three blocks are the ones that general guidelines would have told us that we should use. So this really highlights the utility of simulation. We may end up getting an estimate that's very close to the true effect, but we don't know whether we're the third block down or the fifth block down. And so simulation allows us to cater our approach to our particular study question. So now that we know which design and analysis we want, we need some data. If you'll recall, our second challenge was that measuring health effects usually requires mobilization of new studies. So to counteract that, we are compiling a massive database of California population health data, mostly from administrative data sources, that we can pull on for ongoing analyses. So the main sources of information in that database are vital statistics. From 2005 forward, it's all the births, all the deaths, all the health facility records, which is every emergency department visit and every inpatient hospitalization in the state, as well as files that link these two. So surrounding a birth, it's all the mothers and all the babies, health facility records and vital statistics records from 9 months before birth to 1 year postpartum. So needless to say, it's big. And we also link this up with many other data sources that are regularly collected in California. So the census, the American Community Survey, the California Health Interview Survey, which is conducted every other year, a huge array of sources. And those all serve as contextual information and covariates for any study that we might want to do. And the idea here is that this database would be continuously maintained and updated so that we can pull on it regularly for ongoing evaluations of health effects. One sticky point here is that, in particular, the vital statistics records contain personally identifying information, in particular geocoded addresses, which is really great for localizing health effects, but not so great for making it accessible to everyone. So at this point, it's readily available for those who've received the necessary approvals, but not the public at large. So we can take all this data, and if we were going to study Ceasefire Oakland, we could draw our violence statistics from the database, and along with all the covariates we determine, and we can apply the top performing methods. The simulator allows you to download the R code to implement any of the designs and analyses that are in the simulator, and then you can modify them as you choose. And then finally, we can more readily interpret and disseminate the results of that study. So the simulator is really a user-friendly way to implement rigorous quantitative assessment of the methods that are actually best to answer your scientific question of interest. And our hope is that it encourages researchers to select the methods, and when I say researchers, I'm including myself in that, to select the methods that are actually most appropriate to answer your question, not the ones that are most familiar or the easiest to implement. At the same time, the simulator doesn't replace the role of an intelligent researcher with real knowledge of their data, their study, their context, and the methods they want to implement. We're not saying that the software replaces the role of a biostatistician. What it does do is reduce barriers to simulation and to the implementation of more optimal methods. Another challenge for us has been to balance gathering enough information to represent the real world in which the study will be conducted without asking the user 700 questions and making the use of the simulator extremely burdensome. And that's an ongoing tension that we're still evaluating. And finally, the simulators required a massive amount of computational capacity, way more than we ever anticipated, and that's required us to seek out systems engineers for expertise and to apply for additional funding to support computational capacity. It's been a whole rabbit hole that we hadn't anticipated. And we've actually come up with some pretty interesting and innovative solutions to address those computational challenges, which I'd love to share with anyone who's interested after the talk. And I'd welcome any tips on how others have tackled these types of computational challenges. On the database side, it's no doubt a rich and cost-efficient source of health information that eliminates the need to mobilize new studies on a regular basis. At the same time, ethical and administrative approvals have made it cumbersome. It's been time-intensive to compile. Hopefully, once it's compiled, it's quick, but it hasn't been yet. There's also a time lag between when data is collected and when it's disseminated. In California, for vital statistics and health facility information, it is about a 1.5 to 2 year delay. And that's a major limitation in terms of immediate evaluations of programs that are being implemented on a yearly cycle. It's also data that was not specifically collected for any study design or analysis, any study question that you choose. And so it comes with all the caveats associated with administrative data. And there's been a variety of computational challenges on the data side as well. Despite that, we think that the combination of the simulator and the database could be hugely useful. If it's actually taken up by researchers and those hoping to evaluate health effects, as we hope it will be, we think it has the potential to greatly improve the accessibility and rigor of studies of health effects. In terms of extensions that we hope to implement in the near future, we'd like to expand the simulator capabilities, in particular to complex longitudinal designs. And we'd like to use the database and the simulator ourselves to study the health impacts of recent policies and programs in California. And with that, I'll acknowledge my funding sources, NIH, Robert Wood Johnson, and UC Berkeley, and my collaborators at Berkeley and elsewhere. And I'll thank you. If this project sounds interesting to you, you can email me, and you can go to studysimulator.com and give us your email, and then we can notify you when the simulator launches. Thank you. Thank you.